Hello, this is Josh Carmichael. The following is a sermon I had the privilege of preaching at New Covenant Presbyterian Church in Selma, Alabama. It is our prayer that the Lord Himself will minister to you by His Word and Spirit as you listen.
Please turn to Colossians chapter 4. We'll return to Colossians and conclude it this week and next. The book we began in morning services, I then transferred it to the evening services. And I suppose before we even read, I'm going to read chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. I can remind you in this way of what we learned through our study so far. If Christ upholds the universe by the word of His power, if Christ is the head of His body, the church, if He has reconciled us by His blood, taking away our sin and guilt, and if we have died with Him in His death and have been raised with Him in His resurrection, and are now seeking the things that are above, where He is, then in this passage, we have two more ways of continuing that application of seeking things above where Christ is as we live our life on earth. The last time I went through that whole section of wives and husbands, children, parents, bondservants, and masters. Now we continue this instruction. Chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am imprisoned, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider this basic instruction of the Christian life that Paul gave from prison, we pray that you would teach us, apply it to us, make us more the people you desire for us to be, and do so by the power of your word, working by your spirit, and then causing us to live and to act and to receive it accordingly. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Paul is writing from prison. It appears this was his time when, at the end of the book of Acts, he's made his way all the way to Rome. He called upon an appeal to Caesar when he had been accused of really nothing that was worthy of even being in jail in the first place. God used it to bring him there. The book of Acts closed saying that he was in prison, but he had much freedom in his imprisonment. People could come and go, and they could come and go to where he was, and he could speak and teach as he was there, and he wrote some letters while he was there, and this is one of them. And he tells us now, based on all those things I started with, about the greatness of Christ, our union with Him and what He's done for us, and His call upon our life now, he tells us two things. Pray and live. Be people of prayer and be people who live according to the gospel, the good news that you've received. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Other translations say, devote yourselves to prayer. Friends, Paul was dependent upon God. He's telling us the same. Whenever we pray, we're dependent upon God. We're acknowledging our dependence on God, as we all bowed just a moment ago, as we do in the evening service, as we do in the morning, as we do on Wednesdays, we're acknowledging, I need you, Lord. I can't make it on my own. I don't have the resources. I don't have the mental and physical and spiritual ability in and of myself. I need you. And so he says, continue, devote yourselves to prayer. Depend on God. Depend on God, congregation. Continue steadfastly in prayer. And he describes this prayer being watchful in it with thanksgiving, being alert, and being thankful. Remembering that Christ is coming back. The world, friends, they've gone to sleep. They don't know Christ is coming back. We need to be alert to that as we pray. Christ is going to return. Our lamp's going to be filled with oil on and awaiting his return. Pray with an alert mind, being watchful, being aware that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us, being aware that the world wants to draw us into its enticements. The world, the devil, the flesh, knowing that our own flesh, we need God. So as you pray, devoting yourselves to it, be watchful in it, be aware, and be thankful. Because our thanksgiving shows that we acknowledge that all that we have is from God, that he's the creator of the heavens and the earth, the sea, all that's in them. He's creator of us. He takes care of us. So pray and don't lose heart. Flee temptation, resist the devil. And as we pray, he's asking us this question, are you alive to the will of God? Are you aware of the needs of the world and of those around you? This should inform our prayers. Are we aware of God's will for us? Have we studied his word? Have we written it upon our hearts? Have we stored it in our hearts that he might write it upon our hearts? Are we aware of the needs around us that we can pray for them? He then gives us an example of how to do this. He tells us of his need. Listen, he says, while you're praying, while you're devoting yourselves to prayer, though I'm the Apostle Paul, who's been through all the things he's been through, who has survived stonings and shipwrecks and beatings, mobs waiting to get him, he says, pray for us. Pray for me and pray for those with me who are attending to my needs, who've come here, who are the church in Rome, those with me taking care of me. Pray for us also. Here, he gives us specifics. Pray that God may open a door, using a metaphor, that he may open a door for the word. Right here in Rome, as I'm in chains, that God may open a door. I'm in chains for preaching the mystery of Christ. And while I'm in chains, I want to keep preaching it. Clearly. That's how I ought to speak, clearly, to any who come. Pray for me that I can do it. He's saying, I'm in prison. I don't know what's going to happen. I've gotten all the way here. I got to persevere. He's saying, I've got to persevere and I need your help. I need you to pray for me. The Apostle Paul didn't mind asking for the support of believers to pray for him. He really believes that intercessory prayer works. He believes it. He believes that God hears our prayers. Let's make sure we share with each other our needs. I know that we do. I'll say it again. Let's keep doing it. F.F. Bruce summarizes it like this. The opportunities were great, but the circumstances called for special wisdom. Whether Paul was proclaiming the kingdom of God and telling the story of Jesus day by day to those who frequented his lodging, or if he was looking forward to his appearance before the imperial tribunal to give an account of his missionary activity, so much might hang on the way in which he made his defense that he was consciously in need of special prayer. And so he asks. We should do the same. We should ask for prayer. and we should be people of prayer. So let me ask you, are you weary of prayer? Do you see these requests on our list and you think, boy, we're still praying for that? Don't falter. Keep praying. On the things that, some things we pray for, God has some plans for us that we have to take some actions ourselves as a part of the seeking the answer. So in the places of prayer where God says there is some work for you to do, not the work toward our salvation, but the work toward accomplishing the things, let's make sure we do our due diligence to do the things God would have us do each day. But don't be weary, don't falter. Your persistence in prayer is an expression of faith that you trust God. So keep praying. He just might be working His will and His character into our lives as we keep praying. And you know what? Sometimes it hurts. He doesn't promise it's going to be like a massage as He works His character into us. It may feel like a beating sometimes. But we got to trust Him that He knows what He's doing. We got to persevere in prayer. God's still here. He's still listening. He's still present. He answers according to His own will and His own wisdom. Don't lose heart. Be devoted to prayer. But also, walk, live, walk in wisdom. Tell of your faith wisely and persuasively to others that they may be drawn to the fullness of Christ as well. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Walk in wisdom, that is, wisely. Live wisely. We need a knowledge of God's will. We need His word. We need the help of wise counselors so we can walk worthily of the Lord, so we can be tactful, winsome in our Christian witness. In other words, He's saying, behave yourselves. Behave yourselves out in this world. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, those looking, those wondering what you do behind those walls at New Covenant Church. The reputation of the gospel, one writer says, the reputation of the gospel is bound up with the conduct of those who claim to have experienced its saving power. We have to carry a certain amount of that burden, don't we? We're representatives of Christ. His reputation is bound up, as we profess His name, is bound up in our conduct, in our behavior. So He says, live wisely. Walk in wisdom. Live each day, as we're learning on Wednesday nights. Walk in wisdom, living skillfully with outsiders. But He says, don't just do that. Be urgent about it. Making the best use of the time. Literally, it's saying it. The literal translation is buy up the time, like people who are buying up a product offered at a good price. Christians are to buy up every opportunity God gives us to share the good news and to serve others. Well, that's urgent, isn't it? We know what it's like when something that you like to keep in the cupboard, keep on the shelf, keep in the trunk, whatever it is. You buy it up when it's on sale and you have the money to do it. He's saying, buy up time. Take every opportunity to tell others what God's done for you. To tell others that you're waiting. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm working and I'm waiting. Exhaust the possibilities because the time is short and people need the Lord. People need the Lord. I was just saying to Ron earlier, I had heard this morning I was listening to the Hour of Holiness. It comes on 91.1, on, I guess at 8:30 here. Bill Urey, it's just 30 minutes. It's called the Hour of Holiness, but it's only 30 minutes. And he quoted the ending of a sermon by Peter Marshall back to the Senate in the 1950s. And he said he ended his sermon to the Senate, and I guess the House would have been there too, I don't know. He said he was preaching on Elijah, and he said, here was the close of his sermon. So follow the true living God that Elijah serves, or follow the Baal and go to hell. Let us pray. There it was. Two choices. Follow the true living God and have joyful eternity forever. Or follow the Baal and you're only the place of your final destination, final destination is hell. It's one or the other. He's telling us, buy up the time. People are dying and going to hell. Let's tell them about Jesus. Let's have a sense of urgency. And you know what? As a church, if we're going to have a sense of urgency, that starts with me and our elders. And so, I started today at lunch at McDonald's. We had Mother's Day lunch at McDonald's. The kitchen and the ordering area was hot. It seemed like the air might have been broken. But in the play area, it was cool. The air was working. Joseph and I walked straight in there. There was a little guy he immediately started playing with. Played for 20 or 30 minutes in there with him. As the day went on, as the, you know, the hour, the half hour or so went on, there was a couple whose child this was. I invited him to church. Now, I told you I wasn't going to say. I forgot to invite him tonight. I don't know why I didn't, but I invited him next week at 11 o'clock to come to New Covenant Presbyterian Church. A couple and their child. Well, this group over on the other table heard me inviting them and said, what church were you talking about? It was a man probably in his late 50s, maybe his daughter, adult daughter, and her boyfriend. I told him about our church. Said we meet 11 a.m. Sunday, so invited six people to church at McDonald's today. I don't know if they'll come, only the Lord does. You could pray that they would come, the six people I invited. You know what, that was, it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard. I would encourage you to do the same. Maybe they'll come. Let's pray that they do. Let me finish. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Further, he explains what this might look like. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Gracious speech seasoned with salt. Let's speak to others with gracious words. Salt, as y'all know, was a preservative. It kept things from deteriorating. He's saying to us, speak in a way that's preserving rather than the other, which would be disturbing or something that would bring corruption. Let's stop corruption. Let's stop decay. Let's speak and act in a way that's useful for building up, that expresses purity, the purity of the Lord. Let's don't talk like the world talks. Let's talk like God's people talk. Let's have gracious speech, winsome speech, seasoned with salt. Let's use opportune words and appropriate words, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Opportune words and appropriate words. Let's give apt answers to questions asked of us. This goes back to our Wednesday night study of the Proverbs. Wisdom, knowing the right words to say at the right time. We've talked about skillful living. This is skillful speaking. Speaking rightfully. Or speaking right as called upon. The New Living Translation translates 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 like this. If someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live, because you belong to Christ. So we can ask, are we praying and living in a way, praying and living in a way that opens up a channel for the power of the Holy Spirit to flow? As one pastor gave a testimony of his own church's growth in the Lord, he says, are we paying the price in prayer. You know what? I want to read a testimony. This will be the last closing illustration. It'll take a couple of minutes. Closing illustration. But it means a lot to me. This is a book that means a lot to me by Jack Miller. He went to be with the Lord in about 1996 or 97. His several things he wrote, though, live on in my heart. The Praying Local Church. As I drove up to the church building in our California city that Wednesday evening, I wasn't surprised to see the parking lot empty. I was usually the first person to arrive for the Wednesday prayer meeting. A few moments later, I was arranging chairs and reviewing my thoughts for the evening's Bible study. But after waiting about 10 minutes, I became puzzled. Usually Maria was here by this time, and Tom and Mary and Brian. Our midweek prayer meetings were never large, but we always had at least a small group turnout. I glanced again at my watch. It was 10 to 8. 20 minutes had gone by, and I was still alone. At 8 o'clock, I went to look at the parking lot. There was not a single car to be seen. With a sinking feeling, I made my way back to the prayer room. Obviously, no one was coming. What had happened? Who killed the prayer meeting? Several people over the previous year had not exactly helped build it. One brother sometimes argued with me over the details of the Bible study. Another probably prayed too long during the prayer time. But as I struggled with questions, I sensed a disturbing answer pushing me into the light. It was, "You killed the prayer meeting." I had killed the prayer meeting. That was an alarming thought. The pastor had done the prayer meeting to death. But if I, as pastor, had killed the prayer meeting, I did not have a clue as to how and why it happened. Turning from this dismal picture, I will share a second scene that has never left me. 10 years later, I drove again into the church parking lot, this one belonging to a small country church in Pennsylvania that I was serving as pastor. It was in July 1971, and the lot was filled with cars. So many people were packed into the church basement that you could hardly enter the door or find a place to sit. We had to adjourn to the sanctuary to provide space for all the people. On that night, 4 people made professions of faith. Lives of believers were changed, and a carload of passing teenagers stopped to see what all the excitement was at this once sleepy church. "What's happening? What's going on?" their leader asked. "I've driven by here many times, but I've never seen this kind of action. What's up?" This teenager was the president of the student council of a local high school, a fine student and an outstanding athlete, and secretly addicted to drugs. A few weeks later, someone sent him some evangelistic literature through the mail. He surrendered his life to Christ and became active in our prayer meeting. What made the difference between the prayer meeting that failed and the one that came alive? The earlier gathering lacked the touch of the power of God. In the second one, the King was present, moving, working, leading. It was His meeting. He had graciously chosen to be present and to glorify Himself by changing us and answering our prayers. Seen from the human side, people came to the prayer meeting because they expected God to work in their lives. They expected to know God better for having come. And they were convinced that He was ready to answer their prayers. I cannot remember their being disappointed. Each week we heard reports of prayers being answered and lives changed. One thing really brightened up the meetings. It was not unusual for the unconverted people we had prayed for a few weeks before, to become Christians and to begin to attend the prayer meetings. Sometimes people were converted during the Wednesday meeting itself. Much of the change thought was in me and in my view of the Holy Spirit. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let's pray. We pray, O Holy Spirit, we trust You. We thank You we can come, approach the Father through the work of the Son, and that we can ask You, Holy Spirit, to inhabit our praise. We know You're with us. Make us people who are devoted to prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, Help us walk in wisdom toward outsiders. And may your will be done in and through us. We pray in Christ's name.